Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 a ticket. What a game last night. Tigers beat the Cleveland Guardians 3-0. Tigers have been shut out through 17 innings in this series. And then, bam, Kerry Carpenter comes through with a three-run tank in the ninth inning with two strikes off of Class A, the best closer in the game. And the Tigers get a win and now come home. And home field could be quite an advantage. We'll hear from A.J. Hinch shortly. But let's go to Mike next on 97.1 a ticket. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're great, Mike. Thank you.
Listen, actually, I was at the game yesterday, nice. And I must say that that's really the first time I've been on the road and got to experience the rest of the fan base in disbelief when we won. It was incredible. You know,
I would have to imagine
they got their mouths wide open. You know, it was crazy.
So one of the best parts about watching it on TV, Mike, and I'll make sure we give you your time, but is when he hit the home run and they'd show shots of the stands, you would see 98 people out of 100 just standing completely still, no movement. And then this little burst of chaos being Tiger fans all by themselves, little pockets here and there celebrating. Because, I mean, it seemed like there were some Tiger fans there, but obviously dramatically outnumbered. Everybody else was devastated, and Tiger fans are going crazy.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. And there was a group that had the front row behind the Tigers dugout that every time Scooble struck somebody out, they were holding up the K signs. It was awesome. It's like being a home game. I must say that I thought a big part of that rally, and I saw Carpenter hit a similar but not quite as dramatic home run against the Red Sox back in August, a three-run shot when he pinch hit. So I knew the kid could do it, but, I mean, you got to give props to Rogers and Sweeney, who had struck out, like, I think, four out of his six at-bats for getting on base. I mean, you're actually getting hits. Off the best closer in the game.
Yep. And those guys, and when AJ was asked about it, like, I think it was the first thing he addressed in the postgame meeting with the media, and they said, you know, can you just talk about Kerry Carpenter's home runs? And he almost immediately went to, well, let's talk about the two at-bats before it, because he doesn't even get to the plate if it's not for Jake Rogers and Trey Sweeney. And that brings us to, let's start with the Jake Rogers thing, actually, Kang. I want to invert this since we're coming out of it. Apparently, Jake Rogers got a little sarcastic in the dugout before his at-bat.
Yeah.
A.J. Hinch, meeting with the media today, said the following about the ninth inning and what was being said in the dugout. I'm sorry. Let's stop it. This is my fault. This is about Jake Rogers specifically. I should have said. It's about Jake Rogers specifically. Here we go. Okay.
Sweet, thanks. It's Class A. You're the best.
Really? You're gonna leave me in? Okay.
That's great. He's given up three hits in his last 74 at bats, but that's cool. Thanks, man.
I'm out for what? You're setting me up there anyway? Okay, cool, good. Sweet, thanks.
Look, Trey and I got this. We've struck out 13 out of 27 times, so we're okay. And yet, they both end up
They
with
both
hits.
Come through.
Awesome.
I mean, if Class A is even looking at Rogers, is he taking him seriously? He's like, "What? Who's this? This guy?
This guy? This emoji.
What's up with this mustache?
Play, yeah. Right.
It's cracking me up, man.
And yet, I mean, the mustache is just so epically bad. And I love that story that somebody told in the clubhouse after they were celebrating when they clinched the playoffs. When I think it was Scooble said to him, "You look ridiculous." And Jake was like, "Yeah, I do." He knows how bad the look is. It's so funny. And yet he too can surprise you and get from first to third.
Every time.
No, he's been great, man.
He's
a machine with that.
I want to ask you guys this question, though, and I don't want to nitpick or anything because Rogers has been great. This team's been unbelievable.
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. Do you think Jake Rogers is framing pitches a little too hard? Like, I think he's moving it like a foot from like, it's not like he's moving it like an inch or two. He's bringing it from the bottom of the zone to the top of the zone.
There was one yesterday. It was absolutely the bottom. And he brought all the way
and
to
I'm
top.
Like, dude, I'm don't tempt fate like that. Don't do it too much.
Don't push it too far.
Yeah.
I think all catchers exaggerate it too much. I'm with you, Kang. I wish that they wouldn't exaggerate it so much. Like, just a little goes a long way.
Exactly.
So what's funny is, obviously, I coach my kids, and when kids first figure out that they can frame pitches, they're framing everything. And they think they're going to get, like, there's a pitch a foot up, and they grab it, and they put it in the strike zone.
It's like, dude.
They put it back in the strike zone. It's in the dirt, and then they're putting it in the strike zone. And
come
it's
on,
just,
Blue.
It's just,
right?
It, when kids first get, and I was told years ago by an umpire that you can get away with about a quarter turn of the glove. If you go much more than that, just a little quarter turn, you know, if it's a little low, you just kind of quarter turn it up, or if it's outside, you corner it, right? He said, but more than that, we kind of realize it. I've been fooled before, and I've noticed that it's about a quarter turn.
They don't like getting fooled.
No, and they don't.
And they don't like being shown up either.
And you talk to anybody in the Tigers organization, they'll tell you Jake Rogers is elite at framing pitches.
And yet, we're this close to getting the challenges with the pitches, and I can't wait for that day. I just want to eliminate all the crap because it's such a quick way that they do it. The catcher can ask for it, the pitcher can ask for it, or the batter can ask for it to get a quick review, and it's done instantly. You know, nope, it's not in the zone. Okay, fair enough. I thought it was. My bad.
248-539-9797. Malcolm is next on 97.1. Hello, Malcolm.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's
all right, Malcolm?
I'm just as blown away as everybody about the game last night. I was at work. I work at Chicken Shack on Woodward. I had the game streaming on my phone. Me and all my coworkers were kind of.
What do you do? What do you do, Malcolm?
I'm a fry cook.
So you got your phone propped up somewhere in the back there?
Yep, trying, you know, making sure it doesn't drop into the 350-degree oil.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yep, yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah, but I mean. We're lucky there were no customers in the store when he hit that bomb because we were jumping up and down, just screaming. It was nuts.
That's so cool.
And I mean, the question I would have for, you know, AJ is what do they have on Clase? Because those were solid at bats. I mean, Jake, Sweeney, and Carey. And Wenzel's hit, I mean, that was like, he went the other way. He just lobbed it into left. It should have been a hit. I mean, against any other outfielder it would have been.
And it still might have been.
If they can continue to do that through this series, I think we're going to move on. If they can figure Class A out, I think we'll be in good shape.
Well, I don't know if there's any figuring him out necessarily. His track record is unbelievable. I wonder if they have any regrets of pitching him on Saturday. I can't imagine they do. He didn't throw that many pitches. And then the other thing is they say that with relievers, it's the up-downs, right? He finished out the eighth, went and sat down, and had to get back up. Usually these guys don't do it. And did that take its toll? Is that what led to this? Because they did end up with four straight hits off him at the end, and he hadn't given up four hits. He hadn't given up three hits in a game in over a calendar year in 83 appearances.
You know, if the Tigers figured something out with a tell, it's awesome.
Yep.
It's great. But then you still have to catch up to it because he still throws 100 miles an hour. Right? But I suppose if you know a slider's coming, I don't know if that's what happened or not, or if they just, I think in some instances, it's pure guesswork anyway. When he's got one pitch that literally goes triple digits and then the next one can drop 10 miles an hour, it's such a massive difference. In your swing speed. And if you're catching up to the fastball and you're geared in, I'm locked in, I got this fastball, and then they drop it 10 miles an hour on you. Like, oh.
That's why I think it's more what you said, Doug. I think for Class A and those type of relievers and the closer specifically, he goes in for one inning. He comes from the pen, he goes out and gets his three outs night over. He usually doesn't come out for the eighth. And you're right, he had to go back to the dugout, which he doesn't normally do, wait, then come out for the ninth. I think that had a lot more to do with it. And, hey, if that's what it is, fine by me. But however it's done, the Tigers came through.
All right, we got sidetracked. AJ Hinch talks about what the home field advantage can mean tomorrow and what it means to be coming back to Detroit. Two games now coming up this week, thanks to the Tigers. 3-0 win last night, game 2 ALDS in Cleveland. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.